Morning. Today's Daf increases Chaf Beis. We are in Chaf Avam and Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to begin this morning with the words Amar Rav. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Started the fifth parak of the Masechta yesterday. We opened up with the Isser of Dam. Dam is one of the 36 Isseri Krisis. And so as a result of that, so the Mishnayos, actually Mishnah, the upcoming Mishnah, going to go back to Hashem Tolui. But the Mishnah will use this opportunity to talk about Dam. The prohibition of Dam is an Isser Karis, as I already pointed out. But even within Dam, so not all Dam is the same. Some Dam is subject to an Isser Karis. Some Dam is just a regular Lav. And some Dam is Usser just because of Marasayim. And then, there, of course, there's some Dam which is Mutar Lagamri. So, like I said yesterday, basically you can break it up into four different levels. What is Dam that is Usser to eat with an Isser Karis? So that's Dam and Nefesh. Dam and Nefesh, the blood that comes out in that gush, that first rush that comes out after you shecht it, so that Dam is Aser with an Isser of Kares. Dam and Tamsis, after the first rush of the blood comes out, and then you just simply have trickling blood coming out later, so that's an Isser D'Araisa, but it is only a Lav, relative to not being a Kares. And that's not just true with regarding the Dam and Tamsis. The Mishnah gives over a number of scenarios where it's an Isser D'Araisa but no Kares. The Mishnah talks about Dam HaTchol, Dam HaLev, Dam Beitzim, basically the blood of the organs, of the various organs of the animal. Dam Beitzim, by the way, as we pointed out yesterday, Rashi brought in two pshatim in the Mishnah, could refer to the male to the male testicles, or could refer to the eggs. Tosfos prefers the pshat that it refers to the eggs. Anyway, we went over this yesterday. Okay, so that's the basics regarding the Isser of Dam. So today we're going to conclude the discussion regarding Dam, and then the Mishnah, which we're going to start on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, is going to bring us back to the topic of Hashem Tolui. Amar Rav, so we start off with a halacha today. Dam Dagim, Shekinsu Aser. If you have the blood of the fish. Blood of the fish is mutter, principally. Principally, blood of the fish is mutter. It is already excluded. We went through all the drushes yesterday in terms of the blood of which animals are going to be aser. Fish is not one of the animals. And so therefore, the dam dagim is principally mutter. However, you put it into a cup, and now you're about to drink it. And now what does it look like? So it looks like you're drinking blood. In fact, the Marasayin issue, if you take a look at Rashi, right alongside where we are in the Gemara, Shekinsu b'kli aser, d'michlif b'dam behema v'haroa omer mutter lechol dam. Now, whenever we talk about Marasayin, there really are two facets to Marasayin. One issue of Marasayin is that people are going to think less of you. And you should conduct yourself in a manner where you're above any kind of suspicion. And the other issue of Marasayin is that people can learn from what you're doing. Meaning, people think to themselves, he's a pretty good guy. And I know he follows the halacha. I know he's careful. And if he's doing that, it must be okay. Right, so there really are two facets to Marasayin. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi is saying that focusing on the second facet, meaning Haroa Omer Mutar Lechol Dam. That way, the person who sees you is going to say to themselves, "Oh, he's doing it. It's okay. Must be okay. Blood is okay." So that's just in general, to be sensitive to this idea of the two facets of Marasayin.
We're not supposed to. So nothing to do with this. Somebody sees it.
It's both aspects are true. The chadre chadarim, you could say that you have to conduct yourself in a manner, both privately and publicly. Right? The second issue, maybe you're right. Maybe the second issue wouldn't apply. But okay, anyway. So dam dagim shekinsu aser meitzvei. The Gemara is going to be challenging based on the braisa. Dam dagim dam chagavim motiv afilu chatchila. So in the braisa is pretty clear. The braisa says that the blood of fish and the blood of grasshoppers is motiv lechatchila. Mutar lechatchila means it's totally fine. So hahi b'shlo kinsu. So the Gemara's response is, okay, we're going to make the following distinction. If the blood of the fish is already collected into a cup, and now somebody watches me drinking it and not understanding that it's sourced from a fish, so then we have issues of Marasayin. But if you are, and I know this is disgusting, but if you're drinking it right out of the fish, well, you know, you understand. In other words, the blood's right there, the fish is right there, there's no longer a Marasayin issue, so then it would be fine. Afil lechatchila. So the Gemara says, okay, let's look at a parallel scenario, and that is the drinking of milk, right? The milk of Mahal Cheshtayim, as we already were introduced to yesterday, Mahal Cheshtayim, those people who walk on two legs, that's us, right? The humans. So let's talk about human milk. The Hatanya, the Gemara says, Oh, I'm sorry. Right now, I'm sorry. We're not up to milk yet. You're right. You're right. We're up to. We're talking about the blood of humans. Okay. Sorry. Preview of coming attractions. V'atayin the Gemara quotes the following brisa: Dam sha'al gabe kikar. So let's say the following: You have some blood, human blood, on a loaf of bread. Okay. In other words, your gums are bleeding. You bite into the bread, and now as you put the bread down, so there's some blood on the bread. So again, in our disposable society, you all know what we're going to do with the bread. Okay. And next. But okay, but back in the day, it was not a disposable society. And so bread was important. I mean, it's still important, but, you know, we throw things out. So anyway, so damsha agabe kikar gorova ochlo. So what you do with the bread is you scrape off the blood. It's human blood, meaning it's fundamentally mutter. But again, you have the marsayin consideration, so you scrape it off. Shalben ha-shinayim motzitzo uvolo v'enu choshesh. If let's say the blood is now between your teeth, meaning it's on your gums, you're bleeding out of your mouth, and there you could swallow it. So the Gemara says, "Ela kitanyahi masnisan de isbe kaskasim." So the Gemara says, "Okay." So the Braisa that we talked previously that says that it's mutar afilu chatchila is talking about a case where the scales are right there, the scales of the fish are right there. Meaning to say as follows is that if I have blood that has no sourcing to it whatsoever, like the blood on the bread. And I don't know that it's human blood, meaning I know it's human blood, but others don't know it's human blood. So then there are issues of marsayin. And the same thing is true regarding the fish. The fish blood also, if there's no clear sourcing, so then there would be an issur d'rabban of marsayin. But when it's clear where the source of that blood is coming from, the scales are right in there. So under those circumstances, so then it would be mutar lagamri, there wouldn't be no issue of marsayin. So kikamar rav asad leis bekaskasim. Rav's talking about a case where there are no scales. Again, another big discussion, important discussion in halacha, regarding what exactly serves as proper notification to everybody that this is mutter. Meaning when it comes to the consumption of the blood of a fish, which again fundamentally is mutter, but you just have to avoid marasayan, and you do so by putting out scales. So, you know what I mean, putting out scales. Meaning the scales are right there next to the blood, so under those circumstances the scales are there to notify everybody that this is the blood of the fish. Does that mean that the hecker, the only good hecker that would work is when you have an organic material of the item itself? What if I have signage? What if I just simply put out a sign saying, hey, this is fish blood? You know, what if I tell people this is fish blood? Is that going to be enough of a hecker? Presumably not, but the Gemara over here is very specific in terms of what exactly serves as a proper hecker to notify others that this is, in fact, fish blood. The blood of the humans. So there is no iser at all. Afilu mitzvahs prosh ein bo. You don't even have to distance yourself, right? You can eat it. Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges, dam etchol, dam alev, dam aklayos, dam evarim, hare elu below sase. So again, we're going to quote this brisa again, that the blood of the spleen of an animal, and the heart, and the kidneys, and the limbs, so they're all below sase. That's a lav. Okay, that's step one of the brisa. Next part of the brisa, dam achishtaim, dam shvatzim v'ramasim, aser ve'in chayev alav. The blood, however, of shvatzim v'ramasim, aser, however, there is not going to be any chiv to it whatsoever. So you have two steps in the brisa. So, but in the second step of the brisa, when we're talking about dam achishtaim, so what it sounds is that it's still going to be prohibited. It's not iser d'oraisa, but it's still going to be prohibited. So once again, Rav Sheshet seems to be going against the Braisa. Ki tanya asar de parish ki kama rav, or Rav Sheshet, but de lo parish. So again, we're going to make the same exact distinction, that if the blood itself has not separated from the human, so then it's fundamentally mutter, and so it would be okay. If, however, it's separated from the human, like the case with the loaf of bread that we saw just a little bit earlier, so then there's an issur d'rabbanan, presumably because of marsayin. Kedetayin, the Gemara quotes a brisa, dam shal gabi kikar garo v'achlo shomen ha-shemayim, motzei bo laveinu choshesh. Again, so we quoted the brisa, and the brisa over here makes this very clear distinction between blood which is parish versus blood which is still connected to you. Igi demastin lahad Rav Sheshet al hadam. Some understand Rav Sheshet is going on the following. Now we're going to learn a brisa together, and then Rav Sheshet is going to comment on the other side of the brisa. The brisa reads: Yachol chalev, chalav mahachishtaim yehi ochlo over belav. Okay, now we're up to milk. Okay, sorry, this is what I foreshadowed earlier. You know, thought it too quickly. But now the brisa over here is talking about the consumption of milk. For a moment, we're going to entertain the idea that it's aser. Now, I know that's a very strange hava, just even as a hava mina, right? Even as a passing thought, meaning biologically, right? Us mammals, that's the way we feed our young. But the Gemara over here for a moment is going to entertain that there should be a problem with it. Why? So, chala mahachish time yehi ochla over belav. And the Gemara says, not a problem. Meaning, in our hava, meaning we're thinking now that it's an isra lav. Ma behema tamea, she kalta bima'aga hechmerta bechaba. Consider the following. When it comes to behema tamea, non-kosher animal. So there, in terms of its tuma, we're more makel regarding its tuma. More makel relative to that of a human. And meanwhile, the milk that's generated by a non-kosher animal is in fact going to be usser. Right? It goes back to the Gemara and Bechoros that we did together. Hayotze min ha-tamei, tamei. So the milk that comes out of a non-kosher animal is tamei. Mahalchish tam shechmirta b'mag'an. And meanwhile, when it comes to mahalchish tam, our degree of tama exceeds that of an animal. And so therefore, eno din shechmir b'chaban. So if we are more tamei or more eligible for tama, then for sure the milk that comes out of us are going to be usher. So this is a havamina. The havamina of the Gemara is that the milk that comes out of a woman should be usher. We are more susceptible to tumah than that of animals. How are we more susceptible to tumah than that of animals? I'll show you a really interesting Rashi. Rashi over here, second line down. He called him a magash she'in bazivas venidos. Do you know that there's no zava, there's no nida when it comes to an animal? Man, that's true. That's absolutely true. An animal is not subject to ziva, not subject to nida, and of course humans are. It's just so interesting that Rashi could have gone to a very fundamental issue, and that
the animal doesn't get
tumah. Well, but after the animal's dead, the animal's a nevela,
right.
And after we're dead, we're tamei meis.
But
in other words, exactly. In other words, we are tamei while we're alive. Maybe that's what Rashi means. Maybe that's just simply what Rashi means when he gives the example of ziva nida, is that they're simply eligible to tumah while they're alive. Anyway. So, okay, good. So that's the Havamina. But we all know, of course, where we're going with this, because we're not going to conclude that the milk of a human is going to be usher. Tamalam rev zelachem atamei. So, but how do we know that? So the Gemara says it's a drasha. Because the drasha is zelachem atamei. This is going to be prohibited. Zetamei vein chalav ma'achishtayim tamei ela tahor. So the Gemara says that this is going to be prohibited, meaning pointing to the non-kosher animal, but something equivalent, i.e. human milk, that's going to be tahor. So the Gemara says, okay, so fine. So milk will be permitted, but not blood, meaning not the blood of a human. Now, when it comes to milk, it's ein shava b'chol, right? Not everyone produces milk. So half the human population produces milk. The other half does not, right? Female, male. But when it comes to blood, so here, blood's the great equalizer, right? Both females and males produce blood and have blood. So I might have thought that the blood of a human should be usher. So tamalam v'zelachem atamei, zetamei v'ein dam ha'achish tam tamei, ela tahor. So we have another drasha, it's a very similar drasha, that teaches us that the blood of a human is going to be tahor. So, in this braisa, what we have learned really are two successive points. Number one, that the milk of a human is going to be mutter. Number two is that the blood of a human is going to be mutter. So Rav Sheshes, I'm Rav Sheshes, afilu mitzvos prosh embo. And on that, Rav Sheshes comments that not only is it mutter fundamentally, but even midrabbanan it would be mutter as well. And again, you'll go back to the previous discussion where we qualified whether the blood separated, whether the blood did not separate. Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah. Halev karo motzi zamo lo karo eino over alav. When it comes to the blood, when it comes to the heart, right? So you want to eat the heart. So here in America, not popular. Go to other countries, more popular. So but the problem, of course, is that the heart is a muscle, but it's also a chamber for blood. And what you want to do, of course, is that the muscle itself, right, enjoyable, edible, mutter legamre. But the blood there contained therein, so it's the blood's going to be ulcer. So we have to extract the blood before eating the heart. The Mishnah over here is teaching us how to do so. So what you do is you tear it open, umotzi es damo, and you have to remove the blood. However, lo karo eino over alav. But if you don't do that, you didn't violate nisr. Presumably nisr daraisa. Now amrav zera amrav. Now I'm sorry. Right. The problem, of course, is if you didn't tear it open, eino over alav, you didn't violate nisr daraisa. What do you mean you didn't violate nisr daraisa? Isn't this dam evarim? What are we saying over here? That you're not violating nisr daraisa? Okay, fine. It might not be Yisr Kares, but at least it's alav. Like, what's going on in this Mishnah? So I'm Reb Zera, I'm Rav, lo shanu ala b'levo, v'ol v'em bo kezayis, avalei behemadish bo kezayis, osu v'chayel v'nalav kareis. So the Gemara over here says, look, as far as the blood contained in the chamber of the heart, so that's an Isser Doraisa, that's an Isser Lav. It's, in fact, it's an Isser Kareis. So what the Mishnah in Chulin is talking about is, it happened to have been a really small heart, i.e., the heart of a bird. So the heart of the bird, so this is just an anatomical issue, it's a measurement issue, meaning that the blood inside is Isser, it's just not enough in order to trigger an Isser Doraisa. In order to trigger an Isser Doraisa, you have to be eating a Kezayis of it. And yes, blood is a liquid, and we're measuring it with a solid measurement. But, okay. So you have to have a measurement of it of a Kezayis. And so the reason why the Mishnah is telling us is Eino over Alav, not because the blood itself is an Usser, it's Usser. It's just that you don't have a shear of the blood because the heart's so small and the blood contained therein is such a small amount of blood. And Achinami, if it would have been a larger heart, the heart of a larger animal, where there you do have a Kezayis of blood in it, so then it would in fact be Usser Minatorah. And more than Usser Minatorah would also be an Isser Kareis. Now, Isser Kareis, now think about this for a moment. We learned in yesterday's daf, an Isser Kareis is only for blood, Shehaneshama Tluya Bo. So the Gemara now is bothered. Meisvei dama tchol dama lev dama klayas dama ivarim hare ela belo saseh. And we've quoted this price already numerous times. We get to see it again. And that the, when it comes to the bloods of organs, it's a lav. But that's it. In other words, it caps at a lav. It's not an Isser Kareis. And then dama hachishtam, dam shkatzim v'ramasim, aser vein chayav and a lav. And then the blood of humans, and shkatzim v'ramasim, so there's no Isser Doraisa, which we already addressed earlier. The problem, of course, is that this price just taught us that the blood of a heart is an Isser Doraisa, but not Kareis. So, ki kitani ein chayav and lav, al dam delay. Ki kamarav da'asilei me'ama. So, the Gemara makes a distinction between the heart that is in the muscle, the blood that's in the muscle, that's in the muscle of the heart, versus the blood that's actually in the chamber. Dam delay hanu dam ivarim. So, the Gemara says, okay. So, but that's the same thing as dam ivarim. Meaning, if we're talking about the blood of the muscle of the heart, of the cardiac muscle, so that's just simply dam ivarim, which is already listed in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't bother me. Look at the Braisa again. The Braisa gives the examples of kidneys, the blood in kidneys. Isn't that just another example of the blood of an organ? V'katani dam ivarim? Ela, tini v'hadr tini. Hachanami, tini v'hadr tini. I'm sorry, v'hadr tini. So, fine. So the Braisa says that it's the it's organs, and then the Braisa gives examples of organs: the kidney, the heart. Okay. Now me'ama mehecha asalei. So here's the distinction we just learned together: that when it comes to the blood of the actual muscle itself of the cardiac muscle, so that blood is going to be nisar daraisa, but not nisar kareis. The blood in the chamber of the heart, so that not only is an nisar lav, but it's an nisar lav, and it's also a chiyuv kareis as well. Now the Gemara says how? Again, going back to the.
If it's more than a revir.
Assuming it has a shear. Okay, fine. Yeah. So, but as we already pointed out in yesterday's daf, in order to be subject to the Isser Kareis, it has to be damshan neshama tluya bo. Now we're just talking about obviously the heart is critical, obviously, but that small unit of blood that's in the heart, is that damshan neshama tluya bo? The damshan neshama tluya bo is the dam that exits when you shecht it. So why is that blood in the heart considered damshan neshama tluya bo? So I'm Rabbi Zera Ella. I'm sorry, b'sha'ash neshama yotza misraf sorif. So the Gemara, so Reb Zera gives an explanation, and he says like this: when you shecht an animal, so there is a movement of blood. Obviously, most of the blood is going to be separating and moving away from moving outside the animal. However, there also is going to be some of that neshama blood that's going to run into the heart. In fact, if you look at Rashi over here, so Rashi gives a description. Rashi is above where we are in the Gemara. Misra Sarif, it's like the third narrow line down from the top of Rashi. So Moshe Chadami Beis Hashchita B'Neshima So V'Kon Sebalibo. With that final breath that the animal took when it was shechted, so what happens is a good amount of that Dam HaNefesh goes and runs right into the heart. And so therefore that is Dam HaNefesh, Dam Shanasham Tuluya Bo, and so therefore that would be subject to an Isser Kareis. Okay, so when all said and done, we have a more clarification this morning on the Isser of Dam, specifically the levels of Isser. So dam shanashama tuli bo dam nefesh, that's an Isser Kareis. The dam evarim, that's an Isser Lav. the dam of human beings and other creatures that are not behemoth ofos. So that is going to be mutter, fundamentally mutter, but with considerations of maris ayin. But there are ways to remove the iser of maris ayin, like we discussed earlier. Dam shem neshama yotze bo chayav and alav. For the last bit before we leave the topic of blood, so the Gemara over here is going to be extraordinarily specific in terms of defining dam shanashama tulya bo. So the Gemara over here is going to be working with the following assumption. Before we read the Gemara, let's just take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi over here notes the various assumptions the Gemara is making when you shecht an animal. Now, happens to be that I was present at a shechita of an animal, meaning not just a bird, but an animal. And so I saw the blood rush out immediately after the shechita. So what I saw doesn't really match totally with the way that Rashi over here is describing it. And so, okay, so when we're going to be learning the Gemara right now, I will do so with Rashi's explanation and presenting it like Rashi presents it. Okay, not totally clear in terms of how this matches with what at least I personally experienced, but fine. If you take a look at Rashi Damakaza, Rashi over here gives us the basics, the fundamentals that are governing our Gemara. When the blood comes out, when you originally shecht it, so that first blood that comes out is very, very dark. In fact, Rashi describes it as being black. Then the next little bit of blood that comes out starts changing to red. It comes out a little bit red. But both the original black blood and the first red blood, they're coming out, but shesisa. They're coming out not as a gush, but with dripping. Below kiloach. And then Rashi points out, now you have that rush of blood that comes out. And then afterwards, you have a trickling that comes out afterwards. So, to break down Rashi, we basically are looking at four stages of blood emerging from the animal post-shechita. So, you have dripping black blood, that's one. Dripping red blood, that's two. Then the rush of blood, that's three. And then a post-rush dripping, and that's going to be number four. So, there are basically four stages of the blood emerging after the animal shechted. That's the assumption we're going to be making over the course of the upcoming Gemara. So, itmarizu damakaze shen eshama tuliyabo. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kozman Shemekalech. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Dama Nefesh, that's only number three. That's only stage three. Stage three, that rush, and that's it, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar Mitima Mesheacheret Ve'Elech. Reish Lakish says, anything post-black, meaning the dripping blood, stage two. The rushing blood, stage three. The post-rush drip, that's stage four. So stages two, three, and four, that's Dama Nefesh. That little black blood that was there at the very beginning, that is not Dama Nefesh. So obviously Reish Lakish has a more expansive definition of what is considered Dama Nefesh. Meisvei, and the Gemara is going to challenge from the following brisa. Ezu Dama Kazasham Neshama Yotze Bo Kozman Shemikaleach. So let's say the animal got a critical wound. Critical, that it's going to bleed out. That blood that's coming out right now, we're not talking about Shechita. We're talking about Dama Kaza. But that blood that's coming out and causing the death of the animal. So only the blood that rushes out, that blood, and according to the Brisa, seemingly, only that blood is subject to an Issur Kares. Yes, the Dama Tamsis, Mimeshu Shosis, but any blood that comes out dripping is not Dama Nefesh and is not subject to an Issur Kares. So my love, Afila Rishon, Vachron, to Shosis, who, Bedama Tamsis, Dami? To Yufta, the Reish Lakish. This obviously is problematic for Reish Lakish because Reish Lakish was arguing, stating earlier that you need the, not need, that the blood that comes out before and after the rush, as long as it's red, the dripping blood is going to be subject to an Issur Kares. And presumably the Brisa is going against the opinion of Reish Lakish. No. The Gemara says not necessarily. Ma'utei dam hamashter. So the only thing that the Brisa is coming to exclude is the black blood that comes out in the very beginning. Aval dam rishav achron afagav duhushoseis hainu dam nefesh. But the red blood that comes out immediately before and immediately after the rush, that is going to be an Issa Daraisa with an Issa Karis. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges again. Ezu Dam Rishon Kozman Shemekaleach. The Dam is going to be the rushing blood. Yatsa Rishon V'achram Mimneshu Shoseis. But the blood that comes out as a drip, so that is not an Issa Daraisa Issa Karis. Okay. Tiyufta Dereish Lakish. There is no way to wiggle out of this Brisa. The Brisa over here is clearly not agreeing with Reish Lakish. Amlecha Tanai Detanya. So Reish Lakish will tell you, okay, you are right. That Brisa does not agree with me, but I have a Brisa that does agree with me. Ezu Dama Nefesh Kozman Shemekalech Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So over here in the Brayse of the Sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, it's only the blood that rushes out, meaning Rabbi Eliezer is going to be in conformity with Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Shimon Omer Mitipa Mashchiras Ve'elach. And Rabbi Shimon says anything from the black blood going forward, meaning the blood emerging in steps 2, 3, and 4, they're all going to be Nisar D'oraisa with Nisar Karis. So Rabbi Shlokish will basically say, you're right, there are Brayses that are going to be going against me, but I also have Tanaim who agree with me. Tan debe Rabbi Shmuel, the Vidam Chalalim Yishteh, Pran Lada Kiluach She'ino Machshir Zazrayim. The Gemara quotes the Brayse, and the Brayse over here talks about blood as a Machshir. Now we know that blood is one of the seven liquids where if it comes into contact with the food, it now makes the food Mukhshir Lekabel Tama, makes the food prepared so that it can be susceptible to Tama. When it comes to the blood, only the blood which is a Kiluach, only that rushing blood that comes out, that blood, and only that blood can serve as a machshir. And it's based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Dam chalalim yishteh," right? We drink the blood of our enemies. So the this is by Balak, right? As part of the brachas that are given. In other words, basically, it's a euphemism. It just simply means we're going to conquer our enemies. In the meantime, however, the Gemara is looking at this pasuk from a very halachic perspective, and saying that it is only the Dam Kiluach, only the Dam Shai Nefesh Yotzebo, that blood and only that blood can serve as a Machshir. So, Bamina Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera, Hikiz Dam Lebehema Vekibal Dam Vishnei Kosos. So, Mahu. So, let's say you bloodlet. And the bloodletting allowed the blood now to be collected into two separate cups. Ala Rishon Devar Kol Chayav, the first cup that accepted the blood. So everyone is going to be in agreement that that blood is going to be subject to the chiyuv. Chiyuv daraisa and Issa daraisa with the chiyuv karis. Ala achra mimechayev. But what about the second cup? So mimechayev alo. So amalei plukted Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, okay, exactly. Meaning that the dripping blood that comes out after the rush, so as we already saw, that's a machlokis. So de idmar hikis dam labehema v'kibol dam v'shnei kosos Reish Lakish amar chayev sheichatos. Rabbi Yochanan amarino chayev ala achas. And again, it goes back to the machlokas that we saw just moments earlier, where according to Rav Yochanan, the definition of dam nefesh is only the blood that comes out in a rush. Any blood that comes out dripping, whether it's before or after the rush, that's going to be aser, but not a chiyuv karis. Masha'en Kein, Reish Lakish is of the opinion that all blood that comes out, as long as it's red, and not that first black blood that drips out, so that is going to be an iser daraisa with a chiyuv karis. Okay. Almost finished with our first section of today. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Dama Tamsis. In our Mishnah, we learned that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Tamsis is also Nisar Karis. Now, that's not the Shita of the Tanakhama, but that is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Lazar Moda, Rabbi Yehuda Lenin Kampara, Now, even though Rabbi Yehuda is going to be more expansive in terms of the Isser, but when it comes to the mitzvah of sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Yehuda is not going to deviate from the Chachamim. You need that Dam HaNeshama, meaning the Kiluach blood, the blood that came out in a rush. Shenemar ki adam hu benefesh yichaper, dam shai nefesh yotze bo mechaper, ve'she'ena nefesh yotze bo eino mechaper. So vis-a-vis kapara, Rav Yehuda is in agreement. I need the rushing blood in order to be subject to the, in order to create kapara. It's only regarding the iser where he is going to be more expansive. Am Rav Nachman Yitzchak afanan namitanina, detanya, we also heard this, learned this together through a brisa. Dam atamalamer kol dam lefish nemar ki adam wa nefesh yechaper ein lo al adam kachem sha nefesh yotze bo shu mechaper. Look, our starting point is that the blood of the dam nefesh, the blood that rushes out, only that blood is going to be able to be used for a kapara. And therefore, I might have thought that that definition will translate to when there's going to be an iser kares. Dam chulam v'dam atamsis minayin. But the Dam Chul and Dam Tamsis, how do I know that they're also going to be included in an Isser Dam, and not just an Isser Dam, but an Isser Kares? Dam Alamer Kol Dam. So the Braisa tells us that it's Kol Dam, which includes these two. Now, we just quoted from the Sifra. Sifra is a halachic medrash on Sefer Vayikra. And we know, we saw this earlier, actually, we just saw this recently, Stam Sifra Mani Rav Yehudihi, that anonymous Sifras are attributed to Rav Yehuda. So now we have just learned together that this Sifra is also providing us the source material that, according to Rav Yehuda, despite the fact that he's more expansive with the definition of Dam subject to Karis when it comes to the Isser, but when it comes to Kapara, it is only going to be dam and nefesh, only the blood that comes out in a rush. Okay. That kind of takes us to the end of the discussion of blood. We are now going to the next Mishnah, second half of today's daf, and our discussion is going to go back to the topic of Asham Talui. Now, when it comes to the when it comes to the chiyuv of Asham Talui, so the Torah is clear, and we were also very clear earlier in the Masechta, back in the fourth paragraph. The Asham Talui carbon is brought al safek. Person ate fat and was not sure whether it's chalav or shuman, so he brings a carbon Asham Talui, at least for the here and now. It's like Rashi described earlier in the Masechta, lahagei min ha'yisurim, protects him from punishment, and so he brings an Asham Talui. Then, if in the event he discovers later on that he has absolutely violated the Isser, so then he brings a standard carbon chatas. Okay. This is what we've been discussing earlier. What is our discussion going to revolve around? The following. The Asham Talui is a carbon Asham. It's interesting, just in terms of categorization, meaning it is there to provide temporary abeyance for if for an Isser, where if you for sure violate, you have to bring a carbon chatas. Meaning it's, right, if we can just imagine for a moment, like what kind of carbon should I brought to give me at least a temporary pass on an Isser Kares? I would have said, well, look, Vade Isser Kares Chatas. Suffolk Isser Kares, so maybe another form of a Chatas, but that's not the case. In other words, the carbon that's brought is an Asham. Now, the Asham, of course, is the cousin to the Chatas, meaning it's the same. It's a similar type of carbon where it's there to provide a kapara. And if you remember the beginning of Zvachim, we said together that according to the Tanna Rabbi Eliezer, Asham Chatas Mamish are carrying with it the same baseline halachas in terms of Kavana. The carbon Asham, however, is only mentioned four other places in the Torah in terms of when it's going to be brought. Meaning for the standard Avera with an Isser Kares, so you bring a carbon Chatas. But when it comes to specific Averas in the Torah, so the carbon that's brought is a carbon Asham. So one of the carbon ashams is the Asham Talui. So in one hand, it itself is a carbon that's brought, and it's brought for possible infraction of an Isser Kares. Okay. With all that stated, what will be the Gemara's discussion slash debate? It will be the following. I know that for a Suffolk Isser Kares, you bring an Asham Talui. What about for a possible violation of something that requires a carbon Asham? Let's say, for example, Me'ilah. Me'ilah is appropriating from the Beis HaMikdash. So if I for sure violated the Isser of Me'ilah, so I bring a carbon, Asham, for the violation of Me'ilah. Now, what if I possibly violated Me'ilah? An example would be very simple. I have two foods in front of me. One was Hekdesh and the other was not Hekdesh. I eat one of those two foods. I don't know which one I ate. So that is a Suffolk Me'ilah. So for a Suffolk Me'ilah, do I bring a carbon, Asham? Okay, and hopefully I was clear, meaning that for sure if I ate it, I have to bring an Asham Vadai, what's called an Asham Me'ila. Now for the suffix of it, do I bring the Asham Talui? To state the question in other terms, is the Asham Talui only for a carbon chatas type Avera? Or is the Asham Talui also going to be for an Asham type Avera? And we're going to be focusing this morning on Me'ila. Now, if you look at placement in the Torah, where does the Torah introduce us to Asham Talui? And where does the Torah introduce us to the Asham from Me'ilah? Actually, it's the end of Parshas Vayikra, and they are back-to-back. If you look at the end of Parshas Vayikra in Perek Hay, so in the Parsha that begins in Pasuk Yedaled, Vayidaber Hashem HaMoshe L'mor, Nefesh Kisimol Ma'al V'chata B'shkaga Mikachi Hashem, Ve'evis Hashem Ola Hashem Ayel Tamim and Atzam Berkachal Kesef Shkalim, V'shekel HaKodesh La'asham. And just one more pasuk that describes the carbon asham, but there that's asham meila. The very next parsha, and I'll also give away some of the Gemara's discussion right now, that opens up with the letter vav. V'im nefesh kisech tevas saachas mikol mitzvos Hashem asher lo seyasen v'lo yada v'ashem v'nasavano. So the asham talui comes immediately after the asham meila, and with a connective vav. So what we see clearly over here is that the Torah's placement of the Asham Talui comes immediately after the Asham of Me'ilah. It will lead Rabbi Akiva to the following conclusion, which we're going to see in the Mishnah coming up right now. And that is that not only is the Asham Talui going to be for a Safek Chatas, but the Asham Talui is also going to be brought for a Safek on Me'ilah. If you look in the placement, it comes right after Me'ilah, And that is what clues Rabbi Kiva into this position. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Rabbi Kiva mechayev al safik me'ilah shem talui. So now the Mishnah says it really succinctly. But the Rabbi Kiva says that you're chayev a safik an ashem talui. I'm sorry. For safik me'ilah, you're going to be chayev an ashem talui. V'chachamim pochem, the chachamim say no, you're going to be exempt. Meaning the chachamim only require the ashem talui for a safik chatas, not for safik ashem. Umod Rabbi Kiva sheino ma'evi es me'ilah so ashiz vadala. Now, if you violate Mi'ilah, what comes out as about of it? So really, three consequences for violating the Isra Mi'ilah. You misappropriated, you took property of the Beis Mikdash, and you made usage of it for yourself. You stole. So for that, what do you have to do? So number one, compensation. The value of that which you took, you have to compensate and pay that money back to the Beis Mikdash. Two, Chomish. You have to add on another 25% as well. And three, the carbon asham. Mm-hmm. So those are the three consequences. So now, Rabbi Kiva over here, let's think Rabbi Kiva's position through. For suffik me'ilah, so now you have to bring an asham talui. Now you're going to be bringing an asham talui. Now if you've definitely violated the iser, what kind of carbon would you have to bring? You bring an asham. So it's weird. Now according to Rabbi Kiva, you're going to be bringing an asham now, but not the asham me'ilah, that's the asham talui. And then later on, if in fact you discover that you actually violated, you'd be bringing another asham and asham vadai. Okay, in of itself, that would be, that's fine. Now, but what about the money, right? The keren v'chomish that you owe. So is that going to be paid now when you bring your asham talui? Or is it going to be brought when you bring your asham vadai?
Why would you bring money with asham talui?
Perfect. Right? You're not going to be bringing your money now at the asham talui because you don't know if you violated it. Meaning the carbon requirement is the hagim and ayisurin. That's only there as protective measure. But the money you're not going to be paying until you definitely know that you owe. So that's exactly the point the Mishnah is raising right now. The mi'ila. Mi'ila over here means the money that you owe, that's only when you know for sure. Shiavi imo asham vadai. And that comes together with the asham vadai. I'm Rabbi Tarfon malazem evi shtei ashamos. So Rabbi Tarfon says, you know, this is really strange. You're going to be bringing a carbon asham on the safek, and then you're going to be bringing another carbon asham on the vadai. Aren't you basically just repeating karbanos? Now, of course, our answer is no, you're not repeating karbanos because they're serving as two different functions. Okay, good. So functionally, they're different. But it really is the same carbon. In other words, they're both ashamos. So Rabbi Tarfon says, I have the following suggestion. So Rabbi Tarfon says, I have an idea, and it's a money-saving idea. I know. Everyone's excited now. I know. I'm the same. I feel the same way. We're all in this together. So it's a money-saving idea. Why don't we do the following? Why don't we, at the point of suffix, why don't we bring a carbon asham and also the money as well? And let's say the following. Let's say that, look, this asham right now may be an asham totally, maybe an asham ila. I'll tell you what. Choose. Meaning, if I only need it as an asham talui, it'll be an asham talui. If I learn subsequently that I definitely violated, so it's an asham vadai. And then the money I'll bring right now. And if I didn't violate the isser, so you know what the money is? It's a donation. Okay, oh, and now you saved on the carbon. So money, great money-saving idea. So v'yomar, and the Mishnah just simply spells this out. Okay, so this is Rabbi Tarfon's great idea. It is a great idea. Amar Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says it is a great idea, but look, like with any good business plan, so you have to figure out what what are your expenses? So over here, so I'm Rabbi Kiva, Nirin Dvar V'Me'ilah Ma'uta. So if the amount of the Me'ilah is a small number, so then it's a great idea. Harishia V'Liyado Safik Me'ilah V'Me'a Mana Lo Yafa Lo Shiavi Asham B'Shtei Salam V'Lo Yafi Safik Me'ilah V'Me'a Mana. But Rabbi Kiva says, let's say the amount of the actual Me'ilah was a tremendous amount, right? 100. Whatever the 100 represents. Okay, but, you know, just throw out numbers. Big number. So let's say it's a big number. So now, Rabbi Tarfon, is your money-saving strategy money saving? No, maybe, it's not. Because when you're going to be bringing the suffix with your Tanai, of maybe it's Hashem Talui, maybe it's Hashem Elam. Okay, fine. But now you have to also bring the money. right? The me'ilah money. And if it's a lot of money that you're bringing right now, that's more than the carbon that you saved.
Right.
So Rabbi Kiva says, if it's me'ilah gedola, so then it's not a money-saving idea. But the Mishnah points out, but yeah, if the denomination of me'ilah happens to be a small denomination, so Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Tarfon, good, it's a great idea. But otherwise, for a large denomination, it is not a cost-cutting measure. Okay, with the Gemara that on the Amud Beis today, so what we're going to be doing is basically going through all the drushas. Meaning really over here, aside from the last part of the Mishnah, we're really dealing with a fundamental question of the Asham Talui, is it coming just for Isuri Chatas, or does it come also for the Asham as well? And as we already pointed out, look at the placement in the Torah where the Torah treats us to the Asham Talui. It's immediately after the Asham Me'ilah. Tan Rabban v'im nefesh l'chayev asafik me'ilah Asham Talui divrei Rabbi Kiva. So the opening brisa, which quite frankly really is the same as the Mishnah, is just bringing in this machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Akiva, v'im nefesh, right? When the Torah introduces us to the Isser of Asham Talui, the carbon of Asham Talui, immediately after the carbon of the Asham Me'ilah, is there to teach us that the Asham Talui comes even for a possible violation of Me'ilah v'chacham and pochem the Chacham Seir Pater. Lema v'hakim iflagi. The Gemara suggests as follows. I know what is at the core of their debate. Rabbi Kiva Sarver Lamedim Elyon Mitachton, Rabban Sarver Lamedim Elyon Mitachton. A question of when the Torah transitions from one Parsha to another Parsha. Parsha over here, I just simply mean paragraph. So when it goes from one to another, are we able to learn one Parsha from the previous Parsha? So I'm a Rapapa, Tekulay Amal Lamedim Elyon Mitachton. Rapapa says everyone's in agreement that this is acceptable drushas. The Imkain Safa Mem Bakar Lo Mishkach Lehu. We point that we made all the way back in Zvachim, the carbons that are falling under the file under Kachet Kadashim, like a carbonola. They have to be shechted in the north. Sometimes the Torah says it really clearly, and sometimes the Torah does not, depending on the animal. This is the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. The Ben Bakar, the Torah does not articulate that it's to be shechted in the north. But the next Parsha that talks about the Kvasim and the Yizim, it says you have to be shechted in the north. And how do I know that the Ben Bakar is shechted in the north? So we're learning out based on the fact that the parshios are one right next to the other. And lamedim elyon v'tachton. And this kind of limud is totally acceptable. Elahacha, in the time of the rabbanon, the pashri, the gemir, mitzvos mechatas. So as far as the chachamim are concerned, what do we have? A gzeres shava. We have the word mitzvahs here. We have the word mitzvos mechatas. The asham talui is only coming for a mitzvah. Mitzvah meaning via gzeres shava mitzvah, which only goes back to the carbon chatas. As it relates to Me'ilah, if you intentionally violate Me'ilah, it's not a kares bearing Avera. Now, what is the maximum punishment you get for Me'ilah? It's a machlokus. But at worst, Misa b'dei shamayim, meaning, but it doesn't get to the point of kares. Misa b'dei shamayim, obviously, is just a shade lower. That's the best I can explain it. And that's not true. I could do a little bit of a better job, but for now, it's good. It's just a shade lower than that of kares. But in order to be subject to the asham talui, it has to be a suffix on an isa kares, and me'ilah is not. It's either misa b'dei shamayim or it's a lav, but it's not kares. Rabbi Kiva Savaki Yafina mitzvos mechatas chelev lahachid yafinan. Rabbi Akiva agrees to the Gzera Shava, but he says, but we know what the Gzera Shava is there to teach us. They're to teach us that. When do I bring the Asham Talui? Only for a carbon that is Kavua. It's a set price amount. As opposed to the carbon Olaviyori. In the beginning of Perakeh, the Torah introduces us to a short list of Averos where there is a fluctuating carbon based on your economic status. For a suffix on those, so you don't bring the carbon asham talui. But anything that is a fixed value, like the chatas, and like the asham, so for a suffix, you're going to be bringing asham talui. V'rabbanan savri ain gzera shava lemechsa. And the chachamim say, look, you're either all in with the gzera shava, or you're not. Gzera shavas are binary. And what you can't do is you can't take a gzera shava and start chopping it up. Well, the Gzera Shava takes us to this point, but not any further than that point. No. Once you have the Gzera Shava, it's like firing the gun, right? It's all or nothing. So, Mechlad Rabbi Kiva Savi Yesh Gzera Shava Lamechsa. Now, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that point, and the Gemara is basically asking, like, nobody disagrees with that point. So, Ela dekulei amayin gzera shavala mechza, Ela hain atam at Rabbi Akiva, damer kra, v'im nefesh vav mosif al inyan rishon v'yamayt el yom itachton. And so, the Gemara here with the big reveal, and that is that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's the vav, the transitioning vav that takes us from the parsha of Asham Ila to the very next parsha of Asham Talui, and that parsha opens up with v'im nefesh. So that means to say that the vav is a connective tissue binding the two parshiyos together. V'rabbanan zavri tachton hu degamar mi'elyon. So as far as the chachamim are concerned, so yes, it's connected. But it's connected so that we are going to be learning the bottom, the later parsha, from the top. La'asham bekesar shkalim, meaning, and how much do I have to spend on a carbon? This is the only carbon of all the carbonates where the Torah actually gives you the budget of how much money you need to be spending on this carbon. The Torah says regarding the Asher Me'ilah, it's Kesef Shkalim. It has to be minimum costing 2 shkalim. Now the next parsha that talks about the Asham Talui doesn't tell us the amount. Ah, the Vav is there to tell us that the amount that you ought to spend on the Asher Me'ilah is the same amount that you have to spend on the Asham Talui. V'Rabbi Kiva Savra Ein Ekesh L'Mechza, and Rabbi Kiva says, look, okay, but the Vav now creates the connective tissue. Don't tell me that we're only learning the cost from the top parsha to the lower parsha. We're also going to go in the other direction as well. We're going to learn that the Asham Tolu is brought for what averas? The Asham Me'ila. Why? Because the Vav is connected in both directions. Now, what do you mean to tell me that the Chachamim don't subscribe to this idea? That somehow with the Hekesh you can only learn a Hekesh halfway and not all the way through? By Kamalandin Hekesh Lamechza. And again, it goes against Tenet. We have a fundamental rule that once you have a Hekesh, we're going to go in both directions. So, Dekuli Amayin Hekesh Lamechza V'achai Tanu Derabbanan Degemir Mitzvos Afke Mehekesha. So, according to the Chachamim, what do we have over here? A balancing act. Because on one hand, we have the Hekesh like we just established. On the other hand, we also have Gzeira Shavah, with the mitzvahs connecting it to the Chatos. So basically what we have to do now is we're going to balance the Hekesh against the Gzeira Shavah. And so according to the Chachamim, the Gzeira Shavah is going to teach us that the only time I bring the Asham Talui is only for an Isser Kares, because of the Gzeira Shavah. I, the Hekesh? Yes, the Hekesh as well. But we have to minimize the Hekesh because we also have the Gzeira Shavah. Rabbi Kiva Asham Bekesef Shkalim Nafkalei. Now as far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, so Rabbi Kiva says over here, I don't need the Hekesh via the amount I have to spend, because I have another drasha that gets me to that point. The Torah says later on, Zos Torah Sa'asham Torah Achas L'chol Ha'ashamos La'asham Bekesef Deshkal, I'm sorry, La'asham DeBekesef Shkalim. So later on, when the Torah reintroduces the carbon Asham, it says Torah Achas. It is, Zos Torah Ha'asham, telling me that it's one law that governs all carbon Ashams. Since the Asham Talu is an Asham, so therefore it's governed by the cost. How much is the cost of an Asham? Shtei Shkalim. Even though it's not mentioned in Asham Talu, but still, Taras Achas. V'Rabban Afagav Dixiv Zos Taras Asham Yitzirich Lemichta V'im Nefesh Vav Mosiv Alin Yen Rishon V'yal Meitachtam El Yon. So according to the Chachamim, they agree with Rabbi Kiva, but we also need the Vav here as well. Why do I need both? Im Zos Taras Asham Hav Aminiki Amin Atara Achas L'Chol Asham Atani Mili B'Shar Ashamos Vadayim. I would have said, yes, there is one unified body law governing all Ashamos, but standard Asham. You see the Asham Talui, it's a different Asham. It's a weird Asham. Because it's not coming for a definitive sin, it's coming for a possible violation. Ava Asham Talui came to Al-Safi Chelev Ka'asi, Eimalo Yeh Sfeiko Chamer Mivadai. Ma Vadeh Chatas Bazdanka Sfeiko Asham Bazdanka. And if you think about it, by the way, if we would have left it to logic, here's what we would have said. For the definitive violation of the Avera, you buy carbon chatas. For how much? The cheapest carbon chatas you can find. The Gemara says bardanka. In other words, it's small coinage. Now, if that's for the Vadai. Now, think about it logically. If for a Vadai, that's how much I have to spend. For a Safek, you think I have to spend any more than for the Vadai? That would have been if left to logic. So since you have that logic that tells us that you wouldn't have to spend Shkalim, like you do for a standard Asham, so now, ahachi kasav rachmana v'im nefesh vav mosif al inyan rishon. So that's the vav. The vav is there to tell us that this Asham Talui is connected to the Asham Ila, i.e., we're going to treat it like a standard Asham. And a standard Asham is Shnei Shkalim. This too is Shnei Shkalim, even though it doesn't totally behave like a standard Asham. So the Gemara says, now there are those who don't darshan the Zos Torah Sa'asham. The Gemara doesn't get involved in the details of who doesn't darshan it and what else do they use to darshan it. But anyway, for our purposes right now, we're just wrapping it up. Someone doesn't darshan it. So you have another drasha. Yalef be'erkecha erkecha mi'asham mi'ila. Asham shivcha charufa lo kasaba be'erkecha yafin be'ayo ayo. So you have other Gzereshavas, I'll just say it succinctly. You have other Gzereshavas teaching us that the Asham Talu is to be treated like a standard Asham. Moda Rabbi Akiva, just wrapping up to the next Mishnah, Vim Safik Maika Amar, Amarava Tani, Im Bisfeko Omeid Laolam, Ye Asham Talui, Shimimin Shevi Alhoda, Mevi Ashlo Hoda. So the Gemara just seeks clarification on the wording of the Mishnah, meaning because the Asham Talui and the Asham Ila are the same Karban, so this Asham, again, this was Rabbi Tarfon's great advice, this Asham can serve either as my Safik Asham, my Asham Talui, or if necessary, if I learn later on that I definitively violated, then even as my Asham Vadai. So if Sof Kimisyad Le Bai Lesui Asham Vadai, so Amar Rav, Midivashnem, Nomad Asham Vadai, Lo Bai Yedil Lechatchila. Okay, now, when you do discover that you are, you in fact violated Me'ila, you have to bring your Asham Vadai. What about the fact that you need a Yediya on the front end? For an Asham Vadai, you don't need a Yediya on the front end. For a Karban Chatas, you do, as we've discussed time and again. But for an Asham Vadai, you don't need a Yediya on the front end in order to be subject to the Chiyuv of an Asham of Me'ila.